You're listening to the COVID-19 series of Bridge the Gap podcast. This series is designed to provide resources, share the love stories, and encourage those who are working tirelessly to oversee the care of aging adults. We believe in you.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas, the senior living podcast on our special edition of COVID-19. We're continuing to bring on thought leaders that can bring you education and inspiration to meet you where you are today in our new normal. And we've got an alumni and a great partner on the show today. We've got Brian Nguyen of NRC. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I guess I should say welcome back to the program. The last time we were together on the show was back at a conference, at the NRC conference in Nashville. Good times, man. Good times. So
seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It does. It does. So we're really glad to have you back on. Give our listeners some context of what NRC does around human understanding.
Sure. So human understanding is actually the tagline and our true north at NRC Health. And what that means is that we believe that all customers of healthcare, families, loved ones, residents, think about whatever the healthcare setting, deserves to be treated with the utmost courtesy and respect and to be known. And so what NRC Health does is provides tools and resources to healthcare providers so that they can hear customer voice and tune their care delivery and engagement with those people to be as meaningful as possible.
Awesome. Now, Josh, we brought on Brian to specifically talk about an area that they really excel in the human understanding aspect of it is some surveys. So given the state of affairs with this COVID-19, Brian, walk us through some of these results as you guys have gotten this information back in.
Sure. As you both are aware, maybe not everybody listening is, I'll just give a very quick highlight that we have our ear to the ground in the market all 12 months of the year, and we want to understand what a care experience is like, what a residential experience is like, and then we also want to know what consumers are thinking and how they're behaving with regard to healthcare consumption, who they're going to choose, why, and their expectations of any kind of service delivery. When COVID really became real for us, we'll call it, in the state side, early March, late February, it became very apparent that waiting for monthly data to come back in wasn't going to be sufficient. We needed to aim a resource directly at how people are going to behave, how they plan to behave as a result of the COVID-19 scare, and then what the impact is going to be for providers so that we could start to aim our partners with a little bit of information on how the level of trust that their customers have in the services they're providing. And then if that is going to materially impact the way that people are behaving, which we know that it has, we wanted to try to put some metric to that and then be able to track it over time going forward as this whole situation, highly fluid situation, continues to evolve. So we went in field with a survey, gathering generationally representative data so that we could make sure that we are representing not only the new adults, Generation Z, but also millennials, Gen Xers, boomers, and then the silent generation, and equally weighted that so that we had about 400 to 500 consumer voices from each one of those generations speaking about these very topics.
So Brian, you've shared with us and going to kind of highlight some of the topics that you guys have learned, that you guys have polled and surveyed, which is continually being updated. We're going to make sure that we connect our listeners and our viewers to the detailed reports that you're providing. But I think you've got some information that you're going to just kind of highlight for our listeners and viewers right now and possibly those that are watching, they'll be able to see some of that on their screen, and those that don't, we'll highlight that for you.
That's great. What I'll go ahead and do for those that are watching is share a report that illustrates the data from the first study from early March. And I think one of the things that we wanted to understand here was, first of all, the level of awareness of COVID, even if we're looking at 25 to 30 days ago, was below what it is now. I mean, despite social media moving at lightning speed, and of course, the broadcast media has not let us forget about coronavirus. But as we recall, that was happening across the world. And so as it began to move its way towards the United States and cases started to appear here. And then we started to see actually some deaths occur as a result of the COVID infection. We wanted to first understand, okay, what is your level of awareness and what is your level of concern with this, with this pandemic? And if we look at data from early March, we actually see that, we've got a little over 60%, 61.5% of consumers are moderately or highly concerned about the coronavirus. What's interesting here is that at that time, we had about 5% that weren't concerned at all. But as we look down and start to look at a generational difference here, it's interesting that the early reports from the CDC and from healthcare providers were that those that are most vulnerable, of course, are the elderly, those with compromised immune systems, or those with underlying conditions. And I think if we look at the baby boomer set and the silent generation, they are really underwhelmed by the perceived impact or the perceived risk of coronavirus, coming from data from earlier this month. I think that as we see results that are published in the coming weeks, we're going to see that shift. But essentially, those that were reported to be at higher risk had the least amount of concern, which is very interesting, whereas millennials and Generation X had the highest amounts of concern, with really about a quarter of that population saying that I believe that everybody is at risk here. And that is likely prevalent, according due to social media and the access that younger generations have with things like Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, information sharing, not always true information, but information sharing nonetheless. And then I'm going to highlight a couple of other things here really quickly, but if we look at how we as consumers are going to alter our behavior as a result of COVID-19. So there, of course, we've seen over the last 2-3 weeks all across the country, we've seen all types of closures, non-essential businesses closing, but we still wanted to understand for things like essential business, grocery stores, food shopping, and even use of public transportation were absolutely necessary. How is it going to impact consumer life? So when we start to look at some very interesting data self-reported by consumers, for example, like going to the grocery store, we all know that is an essential that's an essential business. They're staying open. We had around 27% of the population saying that they're only going to go when absolutely necessary. Now, if any of you live near a Costco or something like that, I think you would challenge the notion that, a quarter of the population is only going when absolutely necessary. And we've all seen, what's been happening with things like toilet paper and sanitizing wipes. So I think the way that people plan to behave and the way that people actually do behave once a real scare sets in and once a real risk of something sets in actually becomes quite different. Another interesting thing to point out is, as we look at some major players in the travel industry looking for things like, maybe bailout money from the government, you can see why in consumer behavior in terms of how they anticipate utilizing things like airplane travel, where you've got 40% say, I don't travel regularly anyway, but then almost 20% of individuals are going to say that I'm just not going to do this anymore. Not at least not until I can see around the corner, from the end of COVID-19 and things return back to a new normal. I think the last thing that I want to highlight here is actually something that that healthcare providers and consumers are trying to wrap their head around, and that is this idea of trust. So when we're asking healthcare consumers of all generations, now between the government, local healthcare providers, national leaders in healthcare, which can be thought leaders as well as major brands like Mayo Clinic and others, individuals, so us, ourselves, who do they most trust when it comes to handling the COVID-19 pandemic? And the government was an overwhelming winner in terms of I'm sorry, let me restate that. This is an important distinction. Sorry, guys. Who do you feel is the most responsible for handling the COVID-19 coronavirus? And the government was by far and away rated the highest in terms of who is most responsible for handling this crisis. So a little over 30% of all consumers are saying that. And then followed by national healthcare leaders and then us, then individuals. So like we're responsible for it. We should be washing our hands. We should be social distancing, those types of things. Now, if we look at the other side of the coin on trust, so now how do you trust to handle this coronavirus crisis? Then now we see the actual people that provide healthcare, right? So it is the local healthcare leaders, it's the local senior living facility, it's a local hospital, and then the national leaders in healthcare that the individuals look to you know, create vaccines and do the kind of research necessary to get us around the corner. The biggest difference it comes between who consumers feel is responsible, which is, you know, again, overwhelmingly the government, and then who consumers trust. And so those numbers for the government go from about 31% feel that they're responsible for handling this, taking care of us, and then less than 10% actually trust that the government will do so. So I'm not taking a political stance here, but just in terms of what consumers are saying and feeling, that is, that's a pretty big delta.
Absolutely. So this is fascinating information, and there's no doubt there's a giant spotlight on healthcare, the healthcare industry in general, on the senior living industry. And drawing back, Brian, to some studies that NRC has done in the past, and without having those in front of me, but I think back to, you know, we were looking at a public perception and trust relating to the different sectors of healthcare. And we were contrasting the difference between those that actually had personal experience with the senior living industry specifically versus those that had not had experience with the senior living industry. And the difference in trust and perception, how it was much higher, those that actually had experience in some way working or living, or a loved one working or living, it was the trust and perception was very high. But those that were not very familiar or didn't have a personal experience, it was very low. And I really believe a great opportunity we have right now in healthcare in general and senior living is because this giant spotlight is now being turned from you know, basically the federal government to the local healthcare delivery, the local senior care delivery system, these community-based products, that we have the opportunity to gain, so to speak, market share and trust more than we ever have before, because the champions that we've been spotlighting and that we're hearing about and seeing on social media, these heroic healthcare workers that are so committed on the front lines of this, I think that's potentially an outcome that's very positive for healthcare and senior living. Would you agree?
I absolutely would. And I think this is something that is very rare in healthcare, and that would be more of a mutual gratitude. So there's frequently gratitude from those that receive care, from senior living residents, from general healthcare consumers to those that provide the care, right? The doctors, the nurses, the facility. And what we're seeing now some of the great stories are you know, buildings and buildings of quarantined residents and quarantined just individuals living at home applauding and cheering on, honking their horn, streets lined up with public safety providers, you know, turning on their sirens and those kinds of things, and escorting healthcare providers. I've seen members of the NRC health team are actually, you know, really proud of the work they've done, getting up at 5:36 in the morning and holding up signs for care providers, you know, spaced appropriately apart, but cheering them on and saying thank you for your work. And now, instead of having a transaction that's meaningful in a financial business way right now, which is not the important thing right now, we're having these transactions of trust and gratitude. And I think that is only going to set up, I think, both those that receive care and those that provide it in a better position once we get on the other side of this this COVID pandemic.
Well, you know, we've just scratched at the surface of this valuable information that NRC's provided. My understanding, continually be updating. We want to make sure that we get our viewers and our listeners, not only this information where they can deep dive, where we've just kind of scratched at the surface in today's episode, but also it's going to be really interesting, Brian, to see the comparisons of how this information changes and what we can learn through this deep dive into human understanding around the specific COVID-19 topic. And so thank you for the valuable information. I know Lucas will share how we can get that to our listeners and our viewers. And thanks for the time today.
You're very welcome. Let me just add quickly that we'll share the reports with you all. And then anybody who's watching or listening, feel free to also share to anybody that you see fit. Any resource that can help, we want it to do just that.
Thank you so much, Brian. And at NRC, you guys have been amazing partners to help fuel what BTG's mission is, which is to educate, inform, and influence and be the tide that rises all boats in our industry on thought leadership and also to inspire those that are doing the work of this. So thank you so much for your time today. And to our listeners, we know that you're out there and that this is a challenging time. Just know that our thoughts and our prayers are with you, and particularly the front line and the caregivers that are out there. We hope that this has been educational and an encouragement to you. We'll make sure that we connect with Brian, NRC, in the show notes, as well as the downloads to these documents. You can find more at btgvoice.com and also on our social pages. We hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Bridge the Gap podcast, the COVID-19 series. If your company, community, or caregivers are going above and beyond in their daily duties, we want to hear about it. Tag BTG Voice on social media or send us a message at btgvoice.com.